Welcome to One Board Podcast, where we're exploring the family-friendly side of board gaming. I'm here with my co-host, Rick, two-time award winner. He doesn't talk about it very much. Two-time award winner of his book, Meeple, Meeple and Me, where he talks about making best friends with game components. How are you doing, Rick?
I'm doing well, yes. Little baby Meeple's asleep in his crib. And Mama Meeple's already cooking up the bacon for breakfast this morning.
That's good. That's good. I didn't know that you could be, until I read your book, of course, I didn't know that you could become friends with little wooden components.
Yes, yes, and they can be your family. Yes, it all depends on how sad you are.
That's really pathetic. I feel like this is taking a bad turn. So, Rick, this episode's a little different than what our listeners have heard in the past. You actually had an interview with a game designer that you have a lot of respect for. So, Rick, why don't you tell us a little about what people can expect from this episode of the show?
Yes. Yeah, so, this week I was able to interview Tim Fowers of Fowers Games, who is really one of the only board game designer names that I know. He's made games like Paperback, Hardback, Burgle Brothers or Burgle Bros, Fugitive, Walkstar, a lot of games that I really enjoy. I'm a great, huge fan of his game, so I was a little starstruck to begin with. No, I mean, it was fine, and Tim was awesome, and greatly appreciated him getting the chance to talk to us. And so we were able to talk about kind of his game creation process, as well as a few games that he's got coming out here in the next month or two.
That's really cool. That's Tim Fowers is not a designer that I know super well. I know some of his games like Paperback and Burgle Bros. And so I'm really excited about this interview, and I'm excited about what he has to add to the show. So let's just go ahead and get into it. Here is the interview with Rick and Tim.
Podcast listeners, I am here with Tim Fowers of Fowers Games, and Tim, thanks so much for being on the podcast with us today.
Yeah, glad to be here.
So first off, Tim, I kind of wanted to know a little bit about your board game story. We talk about those a few times with people we have on the podcast. What is it that kind of got you into board games, and were kind of some of your gateway games into board gaming?
It kind of went through a sequence. I had a brother-in-law introduced me to Twilight Imperium 2nd Edition as this, you know, grand space game. And then from there, I started to find out about the 3rd Edition that was coming out. And then they're like, oh, it uses this cool mechanic from Puerto Rico. And I'm like, what's Puerto Rico? And then I go find out what Puerto Rico is. And then I kind of found out about, you know, Settlers of Catan and whatnot. But really, what one that really stuck out to me early on was Power Grid, actually. Uh-huh. I'm like, wow, this is so elegant. And that was right about the time that I decided to start to make games. But I thought the only way to make games was to make video games. And so I spent several years, you know, kind of working through that industry before looping back into board games.
So what was it that kind of led you to loop back into the board games? Was there like a moment of revelation where a light came down from heaven and you suddenly were like, I should make board games? Or
I don't really see them as that different, right? Video games and board games are just different media, you know, platforms for, you know, a game experience. So I just thought the only one I could make money on was video games. But so we were busy working on video games, and I'm a pretty bad programmer, and my friend was a programmer. We were you know, working on the video game version of Now Boarding and a couple other games. And while we were doing that, I really didn't, you know, I got to the point where I'm like, well, you know, I've got everything ready and I've got some extra time. What do I want to do? And so I'm like, well, what project can I work on while he's still working on the code? And that was board games. And that's when Walkstar started to happen.
Yeah, I have finally been able to get my hands on a copy of Walkstar.
and really enjoy that game a lot. I like how you mentioned things like Twilight Imperium and Puerto Rico as kind of games that brought you into it. But, you know, I kind of see some of your games as having some, it has a nice mix of complexity and accessibility in your games. How does the creation of a game work for you? Do you come up with a theme first or a mechanic, or is there some sort of combination of both?
That's pretty early. Theme and mechanics are pretty early. Usually there'll be like kind of one or two mechanics, but I mean, not all, I mean, every game's kind of different, but at a high level, you know, when I'm shooting for like an experience, like I'm shooting for like an emotion, I'm like, okay, I want people to feel like this when they're playing. And then I usually just kind of play the combinatorial game where it's like, oh, you know, what mechanics are there? And, you know, or I'll come up with a new mechanic and then I'll marry it with a theme. And, you know, when it clicks, like, on some of these games, they came together really quickly. Just, they got to, I'd say 80% of their final form in just a couple of weeks. And that's when I'm lucky. And other times, you know, I wrestle with the design for a long time before I finally get it to a place where I feel that it's the right mix of you know, kind of depth and accessibility. Because, I mean, I like my games heavier, but I've developed a sensibility of like, well, I want to make sure that kind of, you know, a more casual gamer can enjoy it, but there's still enough kind of meat on the bone for a heavier gamer. And I think that's where the opportunity is making kind of those crossover games.
Yeah, and you talked about that experience being so important, and that's something that we at One Board Family really value. Are there any particular mechanics or particular moments from any of your games where you're like, oh yeah, that part that I just made right there was really good. Like I've hit the spot in this particular game. Has any of that ever happened for you with some of your games?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's just at different stages. Sometimes you don't always know how it's going to play out. Like you're just, you're trying stuff and then you play test and you're like, oh, that was cool. Or sometimes it's even like something you didn't intend. It's this side effect and you're like, oh, that's really cool. Or some other emergent kind of property of it. So, I mean, there's a lot of happy accidents that happen in all my games. But, I don't know. I mean, it depends on each. I mean, there's a lot of different experiences throughout the different games. But more recently, it was with Fugitive. And just this experience where one person is running, one person is chasing. And the moment when you're down to your last hideout and the other person can guess your number, and you feel the tension of like, I could get caught or I could slip by, and it's not inevitable. It's like your fate is not sealed, and that unresolved tension is like, you're like, well, and then you squeak by and then you get a couple more turns to try to get away, but that moment of like, you know, them looking at that last card and trying to figure out what it is, creates a good moment.
Yeah, I kind of had some similar moments in Burgle Bros where you know you've got to flip over one more security guard card and you're like, oh, please don't come this way. Please don't come this way. And so either he completely avoids you and you're like, yes, we can keep going, or he heads your way and game over. I've had a couple of those and it's really engaging. Like the whole, everybody at the table being kind of amped up for that moment. It's a really awesome part of the experience.
A big reveal. Yeah.
I love it. And you mentioned Fugitive. Like, Fugitive is a two-player game. Paperback and hardback are these, you know, independent, you know, going against each other games. Burgle Bros is cooperative. Walkstar is also cooperative, but it's kind of a different time-based mechanic kind of thing. Is there anything that influences the type of game you're going to make? Is it stuff that you maybe have been playing recently where you're like, I kind of have this spin on it? Or is it something else that kind of leads you to the particular games that you're making?
I don't know. Each one kind of was something that was kind of floating around back there and, you know, kind of finally bears fruit and it turns out to be fun. But I mean, I'm going through that right now is the games that I've built have kind of found an audience with young couples. And looking forward, that's another lens that I look through and I'm like, you know, do I want to meet, you know, I've got a couple of heavier games I've been working on, but I haven't been able to make them quite accessible enough for you know, for that, you know, kind of crossover audience. And so now my question is like, well, you know, do I just put it out or do I not, and do I cancel it? And that's, you know, that's a tough decision because I want to do a range of different types of projects. But at the same time, I think there's a certain expectation of when people come to my games, that you know, they know they're going to have a really unique experience, but they also know that it's not going to be, I don't know, like hyper competitive or like, you know, I don't do a lot of direct conflict in my games.
Right. You're not going to hate each other after
yeah,
playing.
And so that's where I'm at. It's like, as a creator, it's like, I've got, you know, a lot of different things I'm working on, and now is there's kind of this audience that I want to do stuff for. I'm, you know, it's something I'm considering.
So one thing that really drew me into your games, and I've mentioned it before on our website, how I'm a huge fan of your games, and one thing that drew me in pretty quickly was the art of your games, and the design, like the everything to the boxes and how all the parts fit together and things like that. How did that become something that you put a lot of attention into? Because it's obvious that that's something that's important to you because it's so well done.
Well, it's just I know that I try to go for an artisan approach where, you know, these are kind of handcrafted games, and I want, you know, and I've seen this in other games, not just mine, but just when they go into all the little details or they do little jokes in the rule book or just stuff that they show. I mean, Vlada Shavel does this a lot with his stuff where they pick a lot of little details or jokes or whatever that just mean that you care about it. And also I have a different kind of way of doing business. And so, you know, I'm trying to make like a box, for instance, that, you know, looks good on your shelf, and I don't really care what it looks like at like a retailer. Like, I don't need to put a whole bunch of, you know, screaming text on the side of my box. I'm just like, well, I want it to look classy. You know, I'm trying to make classic games, you know.
Right.
And so, and also all the stuff that ships well. So I'm very space conscious with my games. Maybe a little too much, but but I don't know. I just try to care about what I'm doing and just understanding that, I mean, I'm trying to make a game that's going to compete with, you know, Days of Wonder,
right?
You know, and like just this high bar.
I know, I like that use of the word artisan. Like I think of these shops we go into at the fancy-ish places in Atlanta where I live, where I feel really poor when I go in them, but where they're selling, you know, these nice candles or these nice soaps or something like that. And I can totally picture your game sitting on the shelf next to some of these more artisan products versus like a, you know, Ticket to Ride, which is, you know, a nice, lovely box, but it looks like a board game. When I have people over to play games, your games draw their attention every single time. And they're like, that game looks really cool. And I'm like, well, it is really cool. And they want to ask questions about that. So I like that kind of philosophy that you mentioned.
Yeah. Well, and I have to entirely rely on word of mouth.
Right.
So I try to make something that's like worth talking about.
No, that makes sense. Your most recent creation is Now Boarding, which it just finished up on Kickstarter successfully. Can you tell us a little bit about that game?
Yeah, it's a real-time co-op where everyone's flying a plane, and you're trying to get all these passengers to the cities they want to go to. And at the beginning, it's a little overwhelming because you're like, but once you understand that, like, together you're cooperating and planning, you're like, okay, I'm gonna fly this guy to here and drop him off and pick up this other guy, and then you get the guy that I dropped off and you take him the rest of the way. And there's all these kind of logistical plans. And it was interesting though, because on the surface it's like, you know, running an airline is maybe not the fantasy everyone has. And so at the beginning of the campaign, I was like, well, maybe this isn't the game for everybody. But then, you know, I am actually, you know, I went back and I'm like, you know what, this is a good game and I am proud of it. It's one of those ones that, like, you just have to play it, because the complexity of the different options of how you can do all these deliveries, really sucks you in. But on the surface, even for my games, it's like, it's not as cool as say, like, oh, we're gonna do a heist, and everyone's like, oh, I'm in, I want to do a heist. This is like, do you want to deliver passengers to airports before they get too angry? And it's like, and so, but it's one of those things where I'm fine, kind of waiting for people to discover my games. I just try to make the best one that I'm proud of what it is. And if it takes a while for people to figure out what's cool about it, I'm fine. I don't need to stress about it.
Yes, and even with Now Boarding, which, you know, was on Kickstarter, I know you're saying it's not the most exciting thing, but it looks fun to me. And there are some other things that are starting to roll out from you guys as well. Hardbacks about to be released, correct?
Yeah, so we ran two Kickstarters this year, which is new for me. I'm not usually going this fast, but I have a couple guys helping me now, and things are cooking along. And Hardback was an attempt to make an expansion for Paperback, which is my word game, and we just ended up with a new game. We're like, oh well, this doesn't really fit as an expansion anymore. It's a whole nother beast. And so we're just like, well, what do we do? It's like, well, let's just make it, because it's a great experience. It's just different. But it's hard to say that I have two different word deck builders, but they're really different. It's kind of, I think people are definitely going to be attracted to one or the other. It's also a little crunchier. It's designed for a little more of a gamer than Paperback. Paperback is like, you can teach your grandma to play a deck builder with Paperback. It's super accessible. And so it was nice to be able to notch it up a little bit with Hardback. But then along the way, we kind of figured out, well, what works about, what's the difference between these two games? That helped us zoom in on Paperback and really finally make an expansion for it. We're like, oh, well, if that's what we don't want to be for this game, what do we want to be? And we were able to come up with a great little expansion for Paperback that we're pretty excited about as well.
Awesome. And yeah, I actually was able to get my hands on this Paperback expansion, and in our next segment, we're going to be talking about that. So all you listeners, stick around, and we'll be right back to discuss this awesome Paperback expansion. All right, everybody, we're back, and now we're going to get into detail about a Fowers Games creation, and that is the Paperback Unabridged, which is an expansion to Paperback, one of my personal favorite games. I describe Paperback as Scrabble meets Dominion, though I know there's a bit more to it than that. How would you describe Paperback to our audience?
I really played a lot of Dominion. I really enjoyed it. And for years, I'd been working on different kind of digital word games. There's one I made called Clock Words. And over time, it kind of evolved into more of a straight deck builder. And then I'm like, oh, this could be a physical game. And then it became Paperback. And I was really excited. And kind of the highlight of Paperback is it has the moment in Scrabble where you feel super smart for using like all your letters. And it has the moment in Dominion where all of your all of your different things that you've bought kind of come together and combo. And in this game, they happen at the same time. So when you do it, you feel like super smart. Like
you get double success.
Yeah. So it's kind of the highlights of both games.
Right. And you had mentioned in our last segment how, Hardback started out as an expansion, and then this kind of became itself. Were some of the ideas for those two pieces, the expansion for Paperback and Hardback, did you have those at the end of Paperback, or did these kind of evolve through feedback from players and things like that?
I had to like let it sit for a couple years, even, because when I do my games, I try to stuff in any reasonable expansion idea, because I try to make it pretty modular so people can play with what they want. So I felt like I put a lot into the original Paperback, and so it wasn't easy for me to say, I don't really like to go to an expansion unless I feel like I really have something new to bring to the table. And so this is my first expansion, and so it was, that was how it went. I was like, well, you know, what, you know, how can I, you know, what are some of the weaknesses in paperback? Like, particularly, we had goals of like, well, let's make like the Z, X's, and Q's, the hard to use letters, make them more accessible so that they can be cheap, you know, they can, you can get them earlier in the game for different advantages. And let's make new routes to victory. Let's make new routes to get wild cards. Let's make new ways of messing with each other in kind of a, you know, a light competitive way. And you can see different elements of the game kind of hit these goals for you know, not fixing paperback, but I think, you know, swing the pendulum back the other direction a little bit.
No, that makes sense. And I think I see that in the design. Now, when I was opening up this package and reading through the rules, the expansion comes across as a bunch of different modules, not this complete overhaul where you have to learn a whole bunch of things, but little things that you can add here and there. And that was actually part of the original paperback too, with some of the common cards, with the dyslexia card and the spacebar card, or the goals cards that you had in there, things that didn't have to be included, but that could add more elements to the game if you wanted. And that's what you're seeing here, I feel, in Paperback Unabridged as well. Is that a goal that you had with this expansion, to not make it this complete blanket thing, to be able to add tiny bits here and there?
Yeah. I mean, people like to pick the toppings on their burger, so I rely on them to like be able to know what they like about the game. I mean, the most obvious in the original paperback was some people really wanted competition and some other people really didn't. And so I served them through having a full cooperative mode in the original game and then having a very aggressive set of attack cards. And again, it's just, you know, just understanding that it's not all, I mean, if you can make a resilient system, then different things can plug into it without breaking it. And in a competitive game, if everyone has access to about the same tools, balancing isn't as tricky as it might be. Like co-op games are much trickier to balance. So I don't know. I mean, I rely on the player to be part of the design process, really.
Well, for me, I've gone through Paperback Unabridged a couple games, and there's some components of this that I am definitely a big fan of. What stood out to me were the new starter cards, which before they were 5 wild cards that you could do. Now they're also 5 wild cards, but they actually, if they're serving as particular vowels, they can add extra little bonuses for you. I definitely like that.
They're just there to torture you.
What was that?
They're just there to torture you because you'll get like 3 of them at a time and you're like, oh, what do I want to eat? What? It's almost like a candy story, like, oh, I can get this little power, I can get this power, and you can much earlier in the game start to decide what kind of deck you're shooting for with them. And they were a very late ad. They were like, we were almost done with the expansion, and they were like, wait a minute, and then, you know, and hold the presses, and we came up with these new starter cards. And but now you can have players choose. You could say, well, do you want to use the original ones? Because the original ones have victory points on them. So do you want 5 victory points out of the gate, or do you want these minor abilities that only trigger if you use a certain letter? So, you know, I leave it up to players to kind of, you know, let individual players choose, or you can play a game and everyone can do the same way, you know, either way.
Well, and that's a part that I don't see all that often in many games where, you know, you can choose to use the expansion or not. That player choice, I thought, was really cool of, you know, some players who have played it a lot maybe wanting to do that, and others might just want to keep it simple and get that extra bonus 5 points. Like you said, I thought that was really cool. And then the other parts that I like, there are new cards included in the offer. My favorites are the 3-letter cards, which I thought was going to completely break the game at first. I bought an ION card, and I said, I am going to destroy these common letter cards. So for those that don't play paperback, one of the ways to cause the game to end is to play longer words. So 7-letter words, you get some of the common cards, and that's just a way to win. I thought I was going to get up to the 10-letter words immediately, and then started to deal out my deck, and I was like, I can make nothing. So I enjoyed that part, especially the little addition to it where if I do play that card, I draw one less card the next turn, which I thought was a really cool little balancing component. I really like those cards.
Just be careful not to put it next to the double and adjacent ability.
Yes, because yes. then I'm going to go ahead and play a 2-letter word this time. Can I just play an A? Is that what's going to work? But there are so many different little modules to this. I didn't even get into the typos. Because we haven't played with those. Can you tell us a little bit about the typos cards?
They're really mean. As a designer, I'm just delighted because they put people in these really tough situations. Because basically, over the course of the game, these typo cards come out and they don't go in your hand. They just sit in front of you. And the more of them you end up with at the end of the game, you're going to get negative victory points. And so you need to get rid of them by using them. So if you use them, you pass them to the player on the right. And so they end up as a whole bunch of hot potatoes, and they're not fun to use, and so the strategy is like when to get rid of them, and you can actually get a little bit of money for them, but you can't use that money to buy victory points because we don't want people to be like, oh, I'm just going to use all these, buy the last victory card, and then dump all my negative points on somebody else. This time you've got to get rid of them before the game ends, if you're going to end the game, you got to be okay with what you've got. But they're just fun to kick around and force other people to, squirm with these these other letters in front of them.
I like you mentioned with hardback, kind of the gamer's game. I think also here in Paperback Unabridged, what you've given people the option to do is have a laid-back, good time, just like you might with Scrabble, but you maybe want to change it up from the old classic. But if you've got some people that are more familiar with the game that want a little more of a challenge and want a little bit of, back and forth gotcha action, you've got that ability too. And I love that all of that can be contained in one game. And I think what you've made here is a really solid product that works for a wide variety of gaming situations.
Well, thank you. And then hardback's a whole different beast too. So try that, try that when that comes out, and It's more of a race feeling, and it's a lot of fun.
Yes. There's essentially a Fowers section in my shelf. They just keep coming and keep getting added. So, as you keep making them, I'm going to keep buying them. I can go ahead and guarantee you. So, I want to thank you so much for coming on to the podcast, and we'll be looking forward to Now Boarding being released and Hardback being released and Paperback Unabridged being released, and I'm sure you'll also be looking forward to a little bit of quiet time once all those
the shipping and the customs and everything, but yeah, they should be shipping right around the beginning of the year. It looks like everything's arriving right now, and we'll have it out soon.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, and good luck with all of your future projects.
All right, thanks a lot.
Rick, thanks so much for sitting down with Tim and kind of picking his brain over the game creation process and some of the things that he's created. A really cool interview. And now, let me ask you, as far as your feelings on Paperback Unabridged, how did you feel the game played? And like, is this something that will help families get together? Like, what are your final thoughts on this great game?
Yes. So like I said with Tim in the interview, the game is more of a bunch of modules, the expansion is, and in the original version there are quite a few modules as well, so I do like how this game really allows you to make it as challenging and competitive as you want. So you can have kind of a laid-back, scrabbly feel to the game if you want, where you're just playing the cards to get points and everything and break it down to the bare bones, or you can add in all these extra additions that make the game more competitive, have more player interaction, have more of a, maybe a little bit of take that to it. So I think the additional variety that comes in this expansion is great. There are certain components that I was more of a fan of than others. I do think with paperback overall, each time I've played, I've found that part of it can be a little bit difficult with getting to an end game. For instance, when we played with the expansion, my friend and I, it took us 20 minutes just to get the last card from the deck, because it's kind of like Dominion where you have to clear out one of the decks for the game to end. And so it took us quite a long time to get that final word down to be able to beat the game and end it. And so it kind of became a deal your cards and see if you can do it this round. But overall, I mean, I think it's a great expansion, especially if you already have paperback.
That's really cool. Yeah, that it seems like it adds a lot of replayability, and that's something that I'm really big on because I want to be able to come back to the game and have a little bit different strategy, come back to the game and enjoy something different. And that's why I'm huge fans of games that allow you to play differently or add or remove rules so that you change it up from time to time, keep it fresh.
With paperback, I did feel that if I had a better strategy with the game, that I would have done better, because I ended up just buying cards because they were available. And, you know, in Dominion, you can't do that. You end up, if you're playing a more skilled player in Dominion, they'll destroy you because they have their plan in place with whatever cards are out there. I think with paperback, if I had thought it through a little bit better and things like that, I would have done better.
Yeah.
But it's a fun game. And I think if, like I said, if you like the game, you definitely will like the expansion. And Ryan, one other thing I wanted to point out is that Fowers games are not games that you'll find on Amazon. He has a website, Fowers.games, and all of his stuff can be found there. And the games are, in my opinion, very affordable, and you'll be working through his system, but it's supporting an independent publisher. I think it's a great thing for board gamers to do is to support creativity like Tim shows in his games. So if you're interested in any of the games we talked about, you can check it out at Fowers.games.
Rick, thanks so much for taking time with Tim and just getting us to know a little more about this great designer and publisher. So that'll do it for this episode of the One Board Podcast. Hope everybody had a great holiday time with family and friends. And we will see you next week. And until then, have fun gaming.